謝罪してるの、壊したのもう歌舞伎町いろんなのいるってイエーイイエーイすごいよ、なんか最近だ、女いないの
Oh, wait, is it recording?
It's recording.
Oh, perfect. Well, guess what somebody told me about Rocky today?
Yeah, what?
No, this, I guess a mutual friend. I guess not friend, a mutual followers.On Instagram.
Is she following me? It's not mutual if she doesn't...
I mean, we're mutual.
Oh, okay, okay.
I'm sorry.
That's fine. Don't worry about it. I don't need another one. Anyway.
Anyways, she posted a picture of one of Araki's book today. Tokyo's Lucky Hold.
Mm.
And you know exactly how that book is.
Tasty.
Tasty, right?
Tasty.
500 pages of Tasty.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made a comment, you know, just like, yeah, do you like the book? And he's like, yeah, I love it. I'm retaining it tomorrow. isn't that great? Isn't that what, you know, that's just, Araki's, it's just somebody who, you know, if you know of him, it just grab you in. But then once he grabs you, You're still gonna have to do a lot of processing going through his picture, right?
It almost leaves you standing at like a crossroad.
Yeah,
like you have to make a choice: like, do you go in deeper, or you leave? Right?
Yeah,
you quit, right?
You return it and get your $10 back. Yeah. But I mean, the guy just there's some sense, you know, a certain sense about Araki that. It draws you in, no matter what lane of photography that you're in. Immediately, like once you see these photos, you completely, like, curious. You know,
mm-hmm.
like first time seeing him, you know, the guy looks like the devil, right? That's what I get. I don't know what the look he's going for. Yeah. He got the ponytails,
mm-hmm.
and then you know the glasses on.
Yeah,
he's an interesting character, and the picture he takes are very polarizing. You know, But they always draw you in, and then like once they draw you in, like it's like you said, where do I go?
Yeah, I was, you know, a couple of years ago, and of course, I think prior to meeting you, I was aware of who he was, mm-hmm. but I wasn't given that choice. But I think until we met, and then you fully introduced me to his work, and you've. And I find this experience, like the story you told of that girl returning Tokyo Lucky Hole, I think that's somewhat relatable, even though relatable in the sense that I remember being at that crossroad, like looking at his work and then thinking, okay, do I love it or do I hate it? But as you know, I'm all in it.
You're more in it than I am.
I turn completely, I've you know, I've walked on that road and I have not looked back ever since. So of course it's not relatable in the sense that I returned it. I don't think I was ever repulsed by his work.
Yeah.
I think my initial feelings were, I think they were a mix of, you know, there was a thing, I think his work sort of, it awoke something inside of me. And I wasn't willing to admit it. I think that's the one, my personal feeling towards, like...
Whoa. And that is a great way to...
Yeah.
For us to introduce the second episode.
Of course, Now that it's... Yeah.
Now that you know there's something awoken in him.
Yeah.
Welcome to Beautiful Noise episode 2.
Yes. Today... will be a bit, I think, non-specific. I think we started with Araki. I think we're probably going to end up somewhere. So just like all the other...
End up getting canceled, that's what you thought.
Yeah, hopefully not. We talked about this before starting the recording, but we were a little bit, if anything, yeah, both of us were a little bit uncertain about, should we make the second episode about someone who I think is rather controversial, right, in photography, especially these days.
Yeah.
Especially in this era.
This climate.
Yeah, this climate. This somewhat PC, you know. Mm. I think photography has turned a little bit PC. That's just a opinion. I'm just interjecting that.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
True.
I think he's right. So, yeah, we were a little bit uncertain. We're like, you know, we just made episode one, and that was about the origin and some funny stories, our insights, and I think people seem to they seem to enjoy that. And then second episode, we're like Iraqi, misogyny, and you know, chauvinistic character. Like, we're about to lose all of our followers. Exactly. We're about to get canceled. But hey, you know, he is someone that I truly admire, and I think his work has inspired me in many different ways. So I think it would be unfair for us to leave him out of any discussions. I think we will talk about him.
Mm.
And that will be that will be the, I guess, the main opening topic of this episode.
Right. Like it or not, he is a giant.
Yeah.
Within the photography world, right?
And I think also, yeah, and like I was saying before we had that introduction, something awoken. I think I was given this sort of push into photography, because I think, you know, you were aware of this before really stepping foot into any of this. I was really just taking the mildest of photos in a way. You know, I wasn't pushing for anything.
Mm.
I knew something was probably missing from my photography, but I had no idea. And then the moment I looked at Iraqi's work, I realized, okay, here are the things that are missing. But the thing I was saying, how a lot of people seem to not, they don't want to admit that they like his work because they feel like it's wrong, you know, morally or ethically wrong.
Yeah.
And so that's why they choose the, I'm just going to back out. But I think for me, I made the decision to step in because I just lack moral ethics. I think I just don't have the same moral codes, probably. I think it's fair to say that some photographers may not have those moral or ethics, you know, however you choose to call it.
Yeah, it's more, I think, is, you know, people, they're too focused on, like, just what it is, you know? Because, like, if you really just looking at a few pictures from him and you don't really understand, like, his completely body of work, he's just going to see it. You're probably just going to find it grotesque, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just fucking titties and
yeah, he's shoving flowers and hoses inside a woman's vagina. Of course, you know, I think describing his work like that is a very, I think that's almost like calling Picasso's work, you know, some blotches of paint in a way, right? It's a very one-sided, one-dimensional way of looking at Iraqi's work. I think part of the reason, and, you know, hearing that story of your mutual friend returning that book, it kind of made me feel like, huh, so how do you, I guess now it's more of a question for you. How do you, if you, you know, saw someone and you did see somebody doing that, and let's just say you just want them to, hey, give it another look. Like, I don't know, what would you tell them? Like, you as a photographer and a fan of his work for quite some time now.
I mean, look at, you know, Sentimental Journey, right?
Sentimental Journey, that's, I think I would say the same. Yeah. I think that one, Sentimental Journey, has been the one book that I'll admit it, you know, sometimes I look at some of Iraqi's work and I just feel like, is this crossing the line? Should I like this guy? Should I talk about him religiously like I do? And then I go back to Sentimental Journey and I'm just like, oh, it's like my, in a way, it's sort of like my you I guess you could call that book, for me, I guess I could call it like my lifesaver in a way, and in a way that it's like a floaty. I feel like I'm sinking too deep into his work, and sometimes it could get pretty messed up. I mean, you know about his pictures of, you know, girls who seem somewhat underage, you know.
Yeah.
Where I think we're all aware of that. I'm not going to talk too much about that because I actually do not want to get canceled and arrested. But I'll just leave it at that. So he does have, you know, a few pictures, a few series in his, I think, collection that we wouldn't really stand with. So, you know, I think Sentimental Journey has been kind of like that float for me to be like, that guy's a good guy.
Yeah, you know? It's kind of like a core of his his work, where whether you know him, you know, from his modeling, pictures of models, or, you know, his painting over pictures, any type of his picture, you know, you always come back to Sentimental Journey, because it really is an embodiment of, like, who he is. And when you look through it, you think, like, you know, there is a good to everybody, you know? And then everything else, it just, you kind of feel like it's just part of his personality.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, would you say that, you know, I guess, it being the core of his work, and I really do think, you know, to this day, a lot of the stuff that you've seen from Araki does seem to kind of, you know, it has its roots in Sentimental Journey, right?
I mean,
that book kind of has everything. It has love, it has life, sex, and death. Like, those are, like, the big themes in Araki's work. So, in a way, his pictures of, you know, flowers, and his pictures of food, and his pictures of grotesque, you know, body parts from various models, the bondage stuff, you know, the kinpaku stuff, they all seem to be coming from Sentimental Journey, in a way, right? And personally, you know, I do feel like, and this is just to your mutual friend, this is my, I guess, message to them, just take another look at Araki's work. I think there's...
She's a very nice person. I'm sure she is. But maybe Tokyo Lucky Hole wasn't a great introduction.
I think Tokyo Lucky Hole is is another entrance. I think it's another entrance into Araki's verse, the universe of his photography work.
Because I think once you have a sort of understanding, like for me, that was one of the last few books I looked at.
Yeah.
But and that created a different senses for me, you know. I my first look at Araki's work was, I can't remember. But what I'm trying to say is that, like, when after having an experience of looking at his other work and coming back to Tokyo Lucky Hole, is that one is just comedic to me, you know.
Yeah,
it's just fun. Like, it just, this guy, he's just goofy, and he, you know, I mean, obviously, like, the it entails, like, you know, like, porn, sexuality, you know, very sexual contents, but in a, but it just, he made it almost like funny, you know. And then at the same time, you're supposed to feel overwhelmed by this massive environment or world that, you know, you and yourself will never dive in, because, you know, and then here he is showing to you, right? And then I think when I think of Araki, and you know, after looking at Tokyo Lucky Hole, what I realize is this guy is truly the embodiment of, like, Tokyo, right? Right? And if you, he photographs in a sense, like, there's no filter at all. You know, same, you know, playing beautiful noise. But this, if you truly look at his work, he is all everywhere. And I can't think of another person who have, in a sense, document Tokyo the way he does, you know? Like, in every single aspect of it, he, his first book, you know, Tash, what is it?
Sachin.
With, you know, the kids of, you know, at the time of Tokyo. And then to the train,
mm-hmm.
and then to, you know, businessmen, to, you know, all the way to the, you know, like the porn industry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he covered it all. And he has such massive, this guy is pumping out work nonstop, right?
Yeah.
He pumping out work.
That's true.
And not only that, he's pumping out work, like personal work. Like that book, what is it called?
The diary one?
Yeah, the diary one.
The super big one?
Yeah, like 1,000 pages of just like the shit he eats.
Yeah. TV screens, what he's looking at, you know.
So in that sense, like, Tokyo Lucky Hole wasn't that bad for me because, like,
mm-hmm.
he provided me into this world, like this non-filter world, mm-hmm. this non-agenda focused, this is what you should see it at.
Yeah.
It just, he made it so that it just so normalized and just funny in a sense. And I guess I am a fan.
Yeah.
I am a fan. So it might be a bias, but then that's how I feel about Rocky.
Yeah.
I think he is.
You think he'd be down to be a Beautiful Noise member?
If anything, he inspired.
No filters. No agenda. I think that's essentially what we stand for. And I find it, I really do agree. And I was going to add that, you know, I think Araki, and people know about this, people who have, you know, researched his work and looked at his work, is that he has this massive love for life, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's truly, I think he's, you know, I also admire him for that as well, you know, we're over here, like, you know, dreading every day, you know, we're not really looking forward to whatever that's gonna happen, you know. That's, I think that's sort of the, it's safe to say that's kind of the overall, you know, mood of 20 something year olds nowadays, right? We're relatively bleak, you know. We're not super excited about life, we're sad, we're depressed. Yet, you know, you have this guy who, you know, he's lost his wife, I mean, his cat, but look at him, he's like a ball of energy.
Right.
You know, he goes around, he takes pictures, and he always has this sort of like, you know what, I'm glad to be here, I'm still glad to be photographing, you know, I'm glad to be taking pictures, whatever those pictures may be. I'm just glad to be there. And I love that spirit, you know? I mean, honestly, that's what I'm learning a lot from him, is that I'm learning to appreciate, you know, the things that I come across. I don't take pictures of, for most of the stuff that he does isn't what I'm, like, working on, you know? I mean, of course, I'm taking pictures of, like, the personal stuff, but I know for a fact right now, I'm not doing, like, the bondage stuff. I'm not taking pictures of, like, models, you know. So people sometimes, they ask me that. Like, what do you see in Araki? Like, your work doesn't resemble him. And I'm like, it's not... I'm not trying to imitate his work. I think I'm imitating his love for life and love for photography.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to imitate. That's what I'm trying to, like, learn from him to appreciate, you know, life. And then the other thing is that I wanted to mention is that I think he photographs... very honestly, you know, even in the most set up situations, hey, you know, people who are kinky, you know, people who would be down to do that stuff. So what's wrong about setting that up and, you know, taking pictures of that stuff?
Right.
And even Tokyo Lucky Hole, that's photojournalism. That's not,
it
right?
Is
like, it's a big book of photojournalism. I mean, okay, people, you know, obviously no offense, but like, we look at wars too often.
Yeah.
We look at famines, we look at disasters too often, but what about like sex clubs and strip clubs, right? I mean, that's part of those things are part of life.
I mean, it's just as normal as like fucking America going to war.
Exactly. Yeah. I think we go to, not we personally, like us, but in general, we go to strip clubs as often as we go to war. So it's, and so far, I think he might be one of the very, very few, you know, that that has made it work on that
way to draw the line.
Yeah, right.
To reach those points together. Mm-hmm. But
hey, I mean, it's shit, man. I mean, if someone makes a whole book on covering like some conflict, you know, the balance of things. You know, when you want to see suffering, you also want to see enjoyment. And what's a better way to enjoy yourself, yeah, right? To
war porn.
Yeah. And you just, I think porn is kind of, you know, it's a fact of life. I know I'm reaching a little bit too far now, but essentially I do want to wrap around, you know, photography and just being, I think, conscious about what we do. I think Araki is truly someone who one should, if you want to learn photography in the most liberating sense, in the most, you know, unfiltered, unrestricted, you should learn from Araki, right?
Yeah,
that would be what I would tell people personally. But then again, I'm a big fan, and you know.
But not to say like he is completely, you know, devoid of like you know, deep thoughts.
Oh no, of
course not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like he is the quintessential photographer. He photographed thing, you know. Whatever it is, you know, if he see, he, you know, like what I said, you know, last episode, you know, just to make a photograph and just to capture life, death, you know, sex, and in the end, like, you know, like just like from what he got from Sentimental Journey, right?
Yeah,
all that was the whole entire series, which is his, you know, of course his entire honeymoon, and then you know at his, you know, his wife's funeral, but at the time he, you know, that of course that picture of her laying in the boat, you know, he explained it later that, you know, that it's that whole honeymoon was sort of like foreshadowing,
it's like a journey into death, right?
Like when she was laying on that boat, it was her laying on the river of Styx,
that's how
he interprets it, and the picture of the cat, his cat at the end, you know, jumping in the snow. That was sort of his take on, you know, her leaving. And, you know, I think what his photos are quite profound. In the sense that, and I think everybody could take a look at this, you know, if, whatever is in our archive is, in any moment in our life as well, is, can be a foreshadowing of something, you know.
Only, something. But only in hindsight.
But you know, time, you know, time back to Araki, you know, like he see these things, you know, he see this moment that gravitates him to take the pictures, and then, you know, to go back, you know, to reflect on your life experience and to reflect on your photographs as well. I think it's a very good point to of photography, you know, to look back and to find meaning in your photographs.
Yeah. Well, I don't think necessarily meanings, but I think just, you know, I think photographs in a way are like deja vu, you know, moments that you think you've seen already, but not. You know, not really. I think they're, you know, obviously deja vu. They're not real memories. They're fabricated by our own brain. But I think that's actually quite interesting that, you know, in a way, the memories that we capture maybe years apart, but, you know, they still have some sort of, I guess, like, meaning that they could still relate to us in the present, wherever we are, you know. And this is, I could also... Let's just, we could segue into discussing, you know, how we tend to work with photos or, you know, photos or a series of photos that we've taken like maybe months or years, you know, apart, but then we still put them together in a series. So but I think you and I, you know, we work in this, in a style that, you know, we take pictures, but then we look back at the pictures that we've taken, and then we try to connect those pictures with whatever that's going on now, and then we make that into a body of work, right? We don't think, oh yeah, this is gonna be like Araki didn't. He definitely didn't look at his wife on that boat and think in like 1972,
yeah,
you know, while she was still healthy mm-hmm. and alive, and you know he couldn't have thought, oh yeah, she's gonna, this is her death.
Right.
No, I mean he just took the picture probably because he thought it was cool, because that's how we do it too, right? I think the one thing that I'd say connects all the photographers together is that we just think something looks cool. And we have this sort of connection to that moment, and then we take that picture, but we don't know where it's going to end up.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and then this is something that, well, I think a lot of young people, younger than me, I guess, when they're doing photography, you know, they look at series and they think, oh yeah, you know, I want to come up with something like that, mm. you know. And you and I both, we were both very critical, or at least I was very critical of the, you know, the whole trend behind, you know, like taking pictures of like, you know, on like color film, posing models in very odd, you know, in a very odd manner, like having them like hold goldfish in their mouth, having them like stack on top of each other. Obviously, you know who I'm, you know, it's Ren Hao.
Yeah.
It's people imitating that kind of style.
You mean that Vietnamese
yeah.
photo group?
Yeah. Well, them. I mean, I didn't want to call on anybody specifically, but now that you've done it, okay, yeah. yes. I think worldwide, but probably Vietnam, and maybe we're just more connected with Vietnam,
mm.
and that's why we see more coming from that part of the world. But yes, yeah, seemingly there was a whole like. I feel like 2 years of people doing that.
With that issue alone is...
Yeah. Well, what do you think on that?
Yeah. Well, imitation is fine, yeah. right? And to take Ren Han and immortalize him,
mm-hmm.
that's perfectly fine, right? That's a beautiful thing to do, but like to take it as your own is kind of like... that's kind of weird,
and that's something that we don't know if that's whether or not they're doing that, right? Because
yeah.
we don't know if they're.
But then to just like constantly like regurgitating,
yeah.
blah blah blah.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
just
yeah,
like
yeah. Then at one point it becomes like, okay, yeah, we know what you're doing. Okay, cool. Like I think tributes are cool. An homage is cool,
yeah.
right? Like. You know, I've taken, there's a picture of mine, and I think I posted this on Instagram. I think it's still there, but it's, you know, it's a picture that I made a print, and you were there, you saw the print of the dog, the black
mm-hmm.
dog in some beach in Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And see, like, that's Kudelka. Like, you look at it and you're like, that's Kudelka, because the dog in my picture is also kind of turning around,
yeah.
looking at the camera. Of course, at the scene, I wasn't thinking of Kudelka. I just saw
yeah.
a black dog, right? And but then when I... You know, obviously I'm speaking for myself, you know, believe it or not, I wasn't thinking of Kudelka. I was just taking pictures of this one dog. And then in the final, in like looking at the negative and then making the print, I'm like, oh, hey, that's Kudelka. So it's something that's like after the fact, right?
Yeah.
So I guess the point that I'm trying to reach here is that I think people should, this is obviously my opinion, but you know, don't try to recreate a project or a series that you've seen in the past. Just take pictures and then look back at it. And then you can always come up with any bullshit that you want, honestly, right? Because that's what we do. we basically bullshit our way through our zines and series because we try to relate these photos that occurred like months ago to something that's going on right now. So... I guess what does that say about, you know, I think, I guess like our photography collectively is that, well, I mean, this is sort of a discussion thing, but, you know, of course, I don't think pictures should have any sort of weight to you personally in that moment.
Mm.
Give it some time and it might,
yeah,
you know, I guess if Araki's wife didn't die, if she hadn't died from that, from her disease, that picture of her on the sticks would just be another photo, would just
yeah.
be another picture, right?
Yeah, it would mean something else.
Yeah, it would mean something else, and it would take on a different meaning. It would still be a good picture.
Yeah.
but it'll take on a different meaning.
But I mean, like, just to close out, like, the point about Renhan.
Yeah.
And, you know, the trend. Who's to say you can't take somebody's style and create your own narrative out of it? Yeah. Or it creates... or, like, to continue on his work, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's just say, you know, like, the stylistic of pointillism, whoever, you know, or like, you know, cubism from Picasso. You know, who's to say you can't do that and you know, take it on onto your own perspective? But it's kind of odd when, you know, you're just making the same thing. I mean, just like that band.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say the name of it, but it's pretty, it's pretty new band, but... They sound just like fucking Led Zeppelin.
I know what you're talking about.
I mean, I just listened to a Led Zeppelin record. Yeah. I don't need to listen to this.
That's a good point, because when you have, of course, I get it. You know, Renhan is, you know, he passed away, but his work is still around. It's like, and you know, and of course, people even go ahead and call me out and call us out on it. You know, because. Of course, you will see some points of imitation in our own work just because we are so influenced by a lot of people, you know, that we look up to. And so we can't help but sometimes, like, some of those elements will come, you know, they'll come out and they'll appear in the pictures. But I have enough confidence to say that I'm at least telling my own narrative, and that when people look at the work that I'm making, the, you know, zines that I'm making... They're really my own story. Like, they're really personal.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the work of, you know, people who were taking pictures like Renhan did, you really don't, you know, at least for me, I didn't feel the narrative.
Yeah.
I saw objects, you know, being put together, being assembled together. Was the work pretty? I mean, yeah. But then, like, I could just look at Renhan. Like, I can just look at his pictures.
Yeah.
Because I understand his... I could see his narrative. He put together books. At least, he made series and stuff. So you could go through a whole series and see his negative... I mean, his narrative. But when you look at these fragmented photos that these people would do every now and then, you just feel like, hey, there's not much here, right?
Yeah.
There's not a whole lot of substance.
Well, it's also... Because it's also through social media that we truly don't know, too. Because, like, I don't know.
It's like, at the end of the day, it's like, just don't post your pictures. just be like cocaine and not post anything.
That's true.
But, you know, and I guess now that we're on that, you know, social media, if anything, you know, I somewhat stop. I also kind of stop posting too. I post like maybe once a month or so, you know, just to keep my page alive. You kind of do the same. We have a lot of stuff going on, you know, in like physicality. You know, we have books and we have series, we have prints, but then we represent it with just like one picture or one post a month. And I think that's... Oh, it's kind of funny for me to think about, because I used to post a lot. I used to post like every like 2-3 days.
We used to post all the time.
And then we stopped. And I don't know. I mean, is that something that you feel like, well, is it just natural? Does it feel natural to you? This is more of a question I'm asking you, because we haven't talked about this. And I haven't asked you. I haven't confronted you, actually, for why you have not been posting, you know.
Well, one, just for, you know, personal reason.
Yeah.
Like, with work and life events.
Yeah.
That I'm not really too keen. With that being said, I do spend a lot of time on my phone.
Yeah. I know you look at everybody's stories.
Yeah, I do. I do. It's just like the... Just like... Posting.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say like to preface this, Instagram is great. Maybe. I do love Instagram, and to get my picture to people that I admire, like, you know, Tang Hai or Hai O, and then like Zhong, or like you know, Fong.
Yeah.
All those shout Vietnamese. Shout out to
the name out there.
But to get my picture to them to look at, that's a, you know, and to see them, they see, like, I don't really give a shit if they like it or not, but just to, like, get my picture then to look at and, you know, establish a connection with myself and them, that's, in itself, is a reward.
Mm-hmm.
But then, at the same time, I just couldn't keep up with, like, Instagram. Like, I just find it, like, the whole posting, after a while, it just kind of, like, devoid of any meaning. Like, I'm like, just, it's more or less just like posting to, for what,
just like, to fill up,
yeah, just quota, to, like, right? Let people know I'm still here. It doesn't really matter if I'm there or not. Like, I post stories sometimes, so you can message me if you want, and like, all the important people, I'm in touch with them, so all that posting stuff, I really don't care. And as far as my work goes, I don't know. I just find Instagram isn't the best place to show my work. And as in, like, come on, you look at a photos that, you know, like your photos, right?
Yeah.
I know you fucking pound the ground for that shit, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, out there taking pictures.
Yeah.
Spending a shit ton of money on film and processing, to the point where we had to do it ourselves.
Yeah.
And then to end on like a 1-inch thumb, you know, thumbnail, compressed you know, thumbnail,
just to be on someone's screen for about a second, and right, then on the scroll, and then it disappears.
Yeah, and then what? And then it's such.
But the engagement,
The engagement, the insight,
the analytics,
the graphs.
I need to reach my audience. Yeah, but no, that's more or less why I thought about the whole posting thing. You know, we've never. I'm not playing the Instagram game.
I did for a little bit.
The algorithm and all that. You know, follow for follow, that kind of bullshit. You know, I'm not. You know, I used to do that.
I didn't follow people just too, but then I did try to play to the algorithm.
Yeah, I think I remember like researching the perfect time to post, and then now I just post at like 2 a.m. You know, and then whatever it gets. You know, and I actually quite like the fact that, you know, even when we do post, it's kind of like, you know, I find it as me. You know, I'm sharing. Usually, like, now I'm posting what I'm working on, in a way.
Mm.
I'm posting my thought process. I'm not posting to show off anymore. I'm kind of like, I'm working on this sort of thing, and these are the pictures that I'm looking at, but they look kind of complete, and so I'll put them on Instagram.
Yeah.
Just so that people have a chance to, like, oh, you know, see what I'm up to. I archive a whole bunch of posts now. Like, it was something that, where I feel like something has already made it into the series, I take those off.
Yeah.
And then, you know, people can, if they want to look at my work, they will find my work elsewhere, you know, printed or on my website. Instagram becomes sort of like, well, now I post memes on my story and, you know, that kind of stuff. I think that keeps people entertained, and I think that works. I do believe that, yeah, to have your work end up on this little thumbnail, you know, and then on someone's screen for not even like a second. Like, when you scroll through something, you barely look at stuff, right? Whenever we scroll through Instagram, and I'm sorry to my followers, but, like, I don't really look that often. Like, I don't, unless it's really captivating, right? Yeah. Unless it's like, oh, okay, you know.
Yeah, and not only that, Instagram is really, the algorithm rhythm is so good that it knows what you want. Yeah. And then you know, those things that...
Yeah, I've seen your feed.
I really want to look at.
Yeah.
And have you seen my discovery? Yeah, Jesus Christ.
I know.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's why I don't like anybody's picture, because I never get to your picture. Yeah. I just look at the weird shit.
Your feed is just like, it's just like a whole bunch of mukbangs.
Hey, man, don't steal my...
Oh, okay. Well, you know, we have like TikTok memes and stuff on there as well.
TikTok it.
Yeah. But, you know, I think, you know, the point of all this is just like encouraging. I guess we would like to encourage people to, you know, Instagram is not the end of it, you know. It's not the end goal. I mean, yes, your pictures can end up on Instagram and it's a great tool to share. But if you are trying, if that's all you want to do, if you just want to exist for about a second on someone's screen, that's fine, perfect. You know, it's a very convenient way to share. It connects people. You know, I'm, for the past few months, I've been connected with like so many.
It's a great tool to connect with people.
Talk to people. Actually, like Instagram is a great way to talk. Like DM people. Talk to people that you admire. Ask them about stuff. Ask them about what they're working on. It's a great way to connect. Posting wise, maybe just do it for fun. But if you are serious and you like to be, I guess like you want to make a stronger impression, go, I don't know, make a website, you know, make a zine, share that zine with your friends. Send it to the people you admire. That's what I've been doing, actually. I've been sending, you know, my zines to people that I want them to look at my work. I genuinely want my work to reach them directly.
Right. In a medium that you would feel happy.
Exactly. Yeah.
To present your work, right?
Yeah.
Because, like, come on.
It's
Instagram. It's just like a little thing. Mm-hmm.
And it's a different experience, too. And I like looking at my stuff printed on some whatever. Like, I'm flipping through like a little booklet. Mm. It feels like it has some weight to it because obviously it does. It's a tangible object. So it's like, I've made this. And then when you give that act of you, like you giving that to someone, it means so much. Both ways. I think it means a lot to me. I mean, if they don't like it, well, they don't have to tell me, but if they do tell me that they like it, then it means even more to me. That's what I've sort of I've been able to find a lot of joy in photography from doing that alone. Like, of course, taking pictures and like developing and printing and all that stuff is great. But lately I've been like, hey, maybe I shouldn't post and just wait until I have something really great. And I'll make that into something even greater. Yeah. And then I'll just bring that to somebody and have them look at it, you know. So social media. But then Beautiful Noise Collective is only on social media.
Mm.
I guess
we don't really plan on.
Yeah. There was a little bit of a, you know, somebody asked a question where I posted a questionnaire on the story. And someone asked, if we were working on anything, and I gave them a vague answer, as we normally do. But I don't know. You want to get into that now, or you want to talk about that next time, or just what we are thinking about? Like, this is not to reveal what we're working on, but it's more like we have intentions to, work on something or so. Obviously now it suggests that we have something, so I think that may be enough.
Yeah, like Jung said, we're cooking something.
Yeah, we're cooking something.
But the pot is a slow boil.
It's a slow cook.
Yeah, it's a slow cook. It's a slow. Yeah. But then
it's a crock pot.
It's a crock.
Yeah. But it's in the like kitchen good. Whipping.
But it's a good. But yeah. You know, whatever. When it does come to fruition, I think we would be proud of it.
Yeah. Beautiful Noise Collective. I think Instagram is just a platform for us to hang out, to play.
Yeah.
We really do exist more. And a lot of people don't. They're just not aware of this. I mean, I keep saying a lot of people. But of course, it's because we don't communicate until now. But we do have a physical platform, and that just means that means that we meet up.
Yeah.
You know, that means that we have, obviously you and I, you know, we work together a lot, and then whenever I do see Ling or Jung, that's actually when the collective is existing. So, you know, I guess give it some thoughts, you know, anybody who is listening, just, I think Instagram or social media is like a great tool. But much of life is outside of that, yeah. You know, and, you know, mentioning, we started this episode by talking about Raki and how he has this great love for life. Just, and he's always outside. I think the guy doesn't even have a cell phone, you know?
Mm.
Yeah.
I guess I can tie it back, sort of.
Yeah.
Just like how he reach back to his, you know, memories and photographs of his wife.
Yeah.
And define what it is, you know, of what it means to him now. Kind of like how I think we should look at things like Instagram and just not see as like just that's it. Obviously it's a medium of our generation, but then really do remember the first time you fall in love with photography. And I think this is true for most people too. It's the best photo book is your family album, right?
Yeah.
That's when you first see your family, yourself, and an earlier version of you. And I think everybody should reach back to that point and, you know, why not recreate that? Print those things out for yourself now.
Mm-hmm.
And for you and your, I don't know, your offspring, your little demons, whatever you can give birth to later on in life, so they can, so you know, so they will, those pictures will take on a meaning for you later in life, and also your children's, your family can have their own sort of like their puzzle of who you were.
Yeah.
And right.
So essentially you're saying make photo books as if they, I guess, as if they were meant to be family albums, is kind of what you're saying? Like, leave traces of who you are.
Yeah,
I think, for the future generation, right? For whoever that will.
Yeah, just take the fucking picture. Make it tangible.
Yeah.
Or make it so that there's something for you to look at. Well, who knows, you know, maybe we are living in the 21st century. Maybe later on, I got some fucking glasses that I can look at my,
yeah,
that's how we're going to view our, you know, that's our, you know, the 21st century photo albums. Yeah. It's through fucking augmented reality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So,
it's,
who knows?
It's on, yeah, it's just Snapchat memories.
my memories is just me sharing my kids my Instagram archive. Yeah. It's like
it just be one of those selfies where it's like it's just my nose.
What the fuck, Dad?
So, but you know, living with the times, I think we're not too conservative. I think when it comes to, you know. Actually, I think I am. I hold on to things, you know, and I think, yeah, you can't just live with like, okay, Snapchat memories, you know, being something that will get passed down.
Mm.
I think you should make it look nice, you know, you should, and I think photography is the only, like, proper, you know, conscious for, like, you know what you're doing, you got a camera, and you go out, and you photograph your parents, your sisters, your brother, you know, people in your family, consciously doing so.
Right.
I think like tools like Snapchat and other kind of social media, they're great. They can go along as sort of you know, accompaniment with what you're doing, but yeah, then again, I'm conservative, so I don't think Snapchat or Facebook memories or, you know, whatever, these, you know, weird like selfies or whatever could really replace photography. But then again, you know, I am holding on to a lot of things from the past. But, you know, that's just me. Speaking of which, since you were the one that mentioned it, where are your books?
My books?
Yeah, I think the people are asking for it, man. They're demanding it.
Look.
Once and for all.
Listen here, you little shit.
Please tell us. Tell the rest of us. I have your books.
Yeah.
They're mine. I'm not going to give them out to people. But people are asking, you know, I think they want to know. They've seen plenty of mine. In fact, they're complaining I have too many. It's like...
They're good stuff.
But, you know...
They're good stuff. They need it to be out in the world.
I guess a friend of mine, an acquaintance on Instagram, you know, mentioned that, you know, when I think of when I made that announcement that I have like two zines on my website, you know, he was like, oh man, I'm broke and you got to do this right now when I'm not, you know, when I don't have money. I'm like, I'm sorry. I just got to do it. But I see that as a friendly complaint, obviously.
Mm, yeah.
Appreciate. They ended up buying the zine anyway. So, you know, thank you for doing that. But yeah, I guess that's just one of the, I'd say this is the last question for this episode. Kind of want to end on this mystery because you know, no one knows what you're doing.
As of right now, I can't decide between, is it because I'm not too interested? Because I'm kind of focused on real life stuff. And I don't want to get into that shit.
Yeah.
Like, photography isn't real life. But, I mean, just, like, career-wise. Just career-wise, I just kind of want to be on that. Because, you know. But, and at the same time, yeah, it's been weird. As in, I'm just not really happy with any sort of... whatever medium I've tried so far, wasn't really too happy how it turned out. Just like I told you, the book I made, and you have a copy. Actually, only four people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the reason why is that because obviously you're my friend, and you have one.
Yeah.
And those three people, they have.
Yeah.
But I would just like I'm kind of anal. Like if I'm not happy with it, I'm just not gonna put it out in the world. So that's my answer. And as to when, I don't know. When is my book? Want to get my shit together.
What? So, you know. But of course, you're still preaching. You know. It's still good to do it.
Right? Yeah, I'm saying like it's. It had to be do it. I never have, you know, a thought where I'm not going to print.
Yeah.
I'm not going to make a book. It's always in my head, but it just more or less certain aspect of life get in the way. And I can't... This is a personal detail about me, but I guess I'll say it anyway. But I'm very single task focused. As in, if I do something, like, that's shit where people say they're multitasking, that's fucking bullshit. I like to do one thing, and I like to do one thing only. And when I achieve that one thing, I move on. Mm. And right now, it is career.
I'm the person with that multitasking bullshit. Because, you know, I'm working on, like, 6-7 things at a time. But I get what you're saying though, because truthfully, am I accomplishing all of those?
You're not multitasking. You're just doing one thing and then you're doing another thing.
Exactly. I move on. I move. I know. That's why I mean. Like I like to think I'm doing that. I want to sound cool. You know when I say that. Like yeah, I'm working on like 7 projects, bro.
That was fucking people saying the interview. You're like, yes, sir. I'm multitasking.
I'm a multitasker. No, you know, you work on one thing at a time. You just can't focus, and so you jump from. Then that's me. You know, the reason why I came out with like, actually, how many zines I've made for like the past like 6. You know, 6 zines I've made was because I've worked on them. I worked on those 6 kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
I finished one, I finished the other, and then I finished the other 4. You know, like, and then they all just came out. So that's just my style of doing things. So I guess, like, disclaimer, that's not my work ethic. It just happened to be, I came to a time where 6 of them were done, and then I just released all of them.
Right.
Well, besides, except for 2. But then, if you were to, like... Now, that's your issue. You're working on your career. But, like, if... is I guess if this sort of question has two ways of approaching it, I guess one is I was going to ask if you were to give yourself an advice to like, or like a push to start making photographic, you know, materials, what would you say? And then also the other thing is it ever okay to just, hey, it's fine. I'm going to worry about other things. I'm just, you know, you're thinking about photography, but you're just not making anything.
Mm.
Like, is that okay? Do people, do you think it's ever risky? Like, if you get yourself in that situation and then you never go back to photography and you just end up quitting.
Because
I know people who have gone through that. They got busy with something and they tell themselves, hey, I'm thinking about it,
yeah,
but I don't have the time. And then suddenly they stop thinking about it and then it's gone. Completely.
You know what my advice is, probably the worst one, is that you're gonna feel like shit later. I'm like, I guarantee it. The months where I guess even if I'm not putting together something, I'm always taking pictures.
Yeah.
Like, I can't, there's not a day where I don't take a picture of something.
Yeah.
Because those days where I don't have a and we don't have good recollection of our days either. Mm. Most of our days, and I guess I read somewhere, I don't know, but it is basically, let me just reframe the question, but could you describe to me your 20, like when you were 20?
When I was 20?
Yeah.
Like, in what sense? Like, my feelings, my...
Just memories.
Memories?
It's hard, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just gonna... Yeah. Like...
I was actually gonna do it, but that's fine. I went through a breakup, but okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You only kind of remember, like, the big details.
Yeah,
remember
the highlights. Yeah.
A birthday. But then, is that it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like... And that's what I found out, like, a lot of my early days where I didn't take picture of. I don't really have a picture of who I was,
mm-hmm.
you know? I know, like, I was obviously a lot more immature and, you know, the basic fact of life.
Mm-hmm.
But then at the same time, if we don't remember who we were. So
mm-hmm.
If I'm just take pictures, or you're going to forget who you were,
yeah.
you know? And you find things you will find meaning later,
mm-hmm.
things you will embrace later in life. So just keep on, just keep taking pictures. They're meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. And I guess this worked the other way too. And
yeah.
if you want to forget shit, just don't take pictures. But, I guess that's my encouragement. It's worth it. It's worth to just take pictures all the time. Just to remember yourself, to remember yourself, to remember who you once were. And, yeah, because if you know, time is always changing, and you don't really know what you're taking for granted, you know, at the current time, is not going to be the same.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be the same. Whatever you're enjoying right now is going to be the thing of the past, and
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't know. I'm a human being. I relish on nostalgia.
Yeah.
So it's good to keep that.
So essentially, just no matter what you're doing, or like what you're going through, if you're working on your career, you're working on school or work, you know, just if photography is your interest, obviously, you want to keep that alive somehow, I guess your advice would just be, well, don't think of what you're going to be making with the stuff, but thinking simply that you're just documenting the days that are going by.
Yeah. Whatever you're going to plan to do with it, you'll find time to do it.
Yeah.
Because life is long. People say life is getting shorter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's true. Life is long. We have, what? Well, hopefully I live another 50, you know, 50 years.
With your lifestyle?
with what I saw
you eating the other day?
Garbage.
I think it's life is long. We got time, you know, don't stress. you know, I stress. I think oppositely, you know, when it comes, you know, I'm obviously right now, you know, fair to say that I have not as much going on as I did before. Mm-hmm. And I'm relatively free. Got things to work on, but they're relatively just in the background. They're passive. Yeah. And so I can afford to take more time to do photography, you know. You know, going out, taking pictures, and then, you know, wandering around. And then I have time at home to work on the pictures that I've accumulated, right? But that's just simply because I have time to do it, you know. And I think if I didn't have this kind of time, I would still be, I think, doing those things. Yeah. Actually, like, nothing would change, right? Yeah.
It would just creep up in a different way.
Yeah, and I find it very relatable, you know, that I don't think of, lately I haven't thought of photography as a way to make something, you know, worthwhile. It's just, you know, I guess it's memento mori, you know, it's just taking pictures of these things that are, may or may not be here. They may not be people and things that may disappear at one point, but at least now you've got something.
Yeah. Right?
Like, yeah, I don't remember my younger self before I started taking pictures. I don't remember what I thought about, the kind of, you know, attitude that I would have towards certain things. I don't remember. But now at least I can trace back. I can look at something I made in like 2017, you know, and think, oh yeah, this was me, and I can be critical, and I can be nostalgic, or I can, you know, learn appreciative of that experience.
And, you know, things, and especially memories, it takes shapes, even after the photos, you know, it takes a completely different shapes. Mm-hmm. And to say, you know, of course we can reflect and remember who we were, but at the same time, things, you know, our memories fade and it becomes fragmented and then it condenses back together. And I say this, that's just how memories work. And then at the end of it, when you look at it, there is something, it could be profound. It could reveal something to you, but it will be something completely new to reveal to you. And what's better than, you know, deciphering your own life, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned work and career, and it's 1 a.m. and I think you have work tomorrow. So I think that was a great, you know, ending thought. A whole lot of rambling from both of us, but I think that's a nice way to end this episode. It's a little bit longer. I think I would say this is sort of the average. I would want this to be the average length, but we'll see how people feel about this. But just keep on photographing, keep on making noise, because one day you might forget everything. At least you still got pictures to look at, I guess. Right? Last thoughts, messages, propaganda, things that you want people to look at for?
Go look at Antran's website. There's good stuff on there.
Yeah. It's link in the bio.
Link in the bio.
Link in the bio. I also have merch.